4HK. Hey, Gavin.
Streak, how you doing, boss?
And how about yourself?
You good. Just ran by a friend's house to lock their dogs up for them. I'm going home to get some sleep.
Hi.
Finished up my 2 days on. Now I got 5 off.
You, sir. Thank you for being there for everybody.
Something to thank me for. I enjoy the adrenaline.
But I'm sure everybody else appreciates you being there when they need you.
Well, I appreciate the appreciation.
What you got planned for your 5 days off? You still got cleanup to do?
Everything's gotten pretty much taken care of as much as it is. County finally came in and cleared a bunch of the trees out of the way. They just shoved them to the side, but that's enough to get by. Honestly, the only thing I really know I absolutely have to do is start getting caught up on schoolwork. How about you? You got anything this weekend?
Working on an antenna project at my house this weekend. And right now I'm out picking up supplies for the church. My customers are donating stuff, so I'm making a loop down here with a trailer to pick up all that stuff.
So, man, it's great to see all the outpouring that's going on in the community.
It was something else to see all the community and the ham art radio community come together and just help everybody out any way they could.
Absolutely cool. You know, going through my first major event, hearing you flowing that information around, it was absolutely beautiful.
It was my first major event, too, so I'm learning from it and hoping to fix some of the mistakes that I made and be ready, a little better suited for it next time.
Well, we've got to learn how to improve in everything we do, but I think you handled it fantastically for what all you were handling, my man.
I appreciate that, but I couldn't have done it without everybody on the other end of the radio also. All the times you were relaying information in and just being willing to, if we needed something, go do it. That's what makes it work.
We are nothing without our community.
But so many people nowadays don't see that. Hopefully this was a reminder to them about that situation.
Absolutely. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be looking at their own preparations, you know, in the future for stuff like this. The upstate will be feeling the aftershock and all the fear for a little bit, but hopefully it'll make everyone smarter and everyone safer.
So, but there's some of them out there that no matter what, they just don't get it. And you can't do anything with them, so all we can do is for the best you can for what we got and go from there.
Absolutely agree, Patrick. KQ4KFK, KO4HKX.
You learned from it. Just one of your major things you're going to change.
Your chainsaw.
That's what it would be. Battery ones are nice, but they don't need to be the main ones.
Definitely get some better chainsaws, and getting that generator probably was one of the smartest things that I've done, because they came in clutch the last couple of days without power.
Same here. I learned a few things that I had gaps in, because I had a whole house generator, but I've been having issues with it, and I can't seem to find somebody that can fix it. It's just been one of those nagging things that are just, you know, sometimes they just, you can't fix them, so I may end up replacing this one.
Saying that there's not someone that can look at it, I bet that thing is expensive to replace.
Pricey, but I've had guys out to look at it over the years 4 or 5 times, and it just, it'll work for a little while, and then it won't, and it's always something.
A whole house generator like that's like one of those big, like, you know, triple size ones, right?
It's a Generac. It's probably 2.5 foot wide, 3 foot tall, and about four, maybe 4.5 feet long.
seen the massive, 6 foot long and 4 foot tall ones on some of the houses.
I got a small house. Mine's 15K propane generator, and it runs everything but the washer and dryer, and that's only because I didn't have enough circuits in the automatic transfer switch.
Reason not to have the...
And I've had it for about 20 years now, so it might be just time for an upgrade.
I mean, at least you had it for that long.
That I've rode it to two hurricanes coming through the area now, so I can't say that it hasn't paid for itself. 4HGX, did I lose you, Gavin?
Be going through a bad spot. I'm on my handheld with a little Comet M721A antenna on the outside.
Making a repeater fine, but I don't know if you missed my last transmission, but I was just saying, I've rode that generator through two hurricanes now, and they come into the area, and I can't say that it hasn't paid for itself in that time.
Be fair. Once I get a house, I'll probably be looking at a whole house generator like that, because that thing's coming handy.
Gerald, Geo.
Well, Gavin, I'm going to say 7-3 now. I'm going to step out and get some fuel. And, Tom, you go ahead and pick it up. I'll be listening, but I'm going to pump some fuel. KO4HKX.
Roger. Okay, Patrick. And, Kevin, I don't know your call sign, but that's okay. I've been listening to you and Patrick. I was just going to ask him, I wonder what the fault was on the generator when it failed. I do have a little background in big generators. I don't know about the little ones particularly, but theoretically they work the same way. This is N0TR Tom, and I'm in Greer.
I wonder what kind of issue has been popping for him.
But, a lot of times people think about how many years they had them, like a Generac. And dealers, they'll say, well, they can last up to 30 years. Well, no, that depends on the hours that you actually put on them. You call them generators, but I think they're all alternators. They're just... an alternator put out AC rather than DC. I worked on a lot of DC ones. But nothing like that out in the civilian world. This was in large machine shops up to, I think the biggest one was a 100,000-watt one. I have a 22-kilowatt Generac on our house, and it's performed admirably, and I installed one for my brother-in-law out in Kansas. He lived on a farm, and it was 16 kilowatt, and it's still going, and it's over 20 years old, I know, maybe 30.
I just bought one after this last storm. It's a little GP6500, but I'm going to go ahead and hop off because I'm going to try to get some sleep. So 73s, everyone, KQ4K, okay, clear.
Okay, what was your call sign again, Kevin?
KQ4KFK. This is Gavin down in Taylor's.
Okay, Gavin, we're between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham. Have a nice snooze, and we'll catch you down the line. This is N0TR. 73.
TR, this is KO4HGX. So TR, KO4HGX.
Patrick, got a varmint I got to take care of. I'll be back in a little bit. If you're still there, if not, I'll catch you later in Gerald TR.
For a little while, so I'll be around. HGX. Mobile. QT Mobile. KO4HGX here.
Patrick, what'd you up to today?
I've got a trailer hooked to the excursion, making a loop down here in South Carolina to pick up donations.
I've been busy with my dogs because they got in a fight.
Sorry to hear that.
It happens. So I got a nice hole in my hand that I'm like nursing back, so I'm not able to do much, but moving around. Yesterday I did a little bit of tractor work for my brother-in-law. He had a tree down, so I helped him get that chopped up and moved.
You take care of yourself, because there's lots of people out there going to need help, I believe.
I can get to more of them, because it just kind of sucks being damaged in the process.
That, I know what you mean. Hate feeling like I can't do something.
I sit back, and I got some stuff to do today, moving these dogs around, and then I've got Bingo to try on.
Call you, or give you a shout here in a few minutes. I got a phone call. KO4HK. Clear.
M4BUT mobile monitoring.
HK action 0TR. Action 0TR.
Car, this is N4VUT. Patrick's currently on a phone call.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
N4VUT monitoring.
Is your uniform Tango?
That is correct, sir, because I was a Navy UT.
I was a Navy AW.
I was there, and I chose land.
What was a UT? Looks like underwater demolition team, but they didn't have those anymore. They changed them over to SEALs during my time.
Utilities men, so I was with the Seabees.
God bless you. You were basically fleet marines almost and stood your own perimeters. That wasn't an easy go.
We had our fun.
To school with the Marines down in Jacksonville for about 7 months, and then I went through survival school with them when I was at San Diego, North Island.
I had fun playing with them because they were basically advisors to us, so it was kind of like having a stepbrother.
In department, my brother was a master chief when he got out, and he worked for used to be the Bureau, and then they changed it over to, Dad burn it. I've been there to the offices in Washington, D.C., Navy Personnel Command or something like that. I can't remember it now. It's been 50-some years ago.
What it was called when I was there, over there in, not Long Beach, but trying to think of the spot over there in Annapolis where the Naval Personnel Command is.
I had to wind it down at the Pentagon. It's kind of up on a hill up there.
But over in the yards, they moved the actual building, so they're not in D.C. anymore. They're over in Maryland.
Then the Carter administration said that people couldn't double dip anymore. Well, that's sad because they were the ones with the most experience. You know, he'd put 18 and a half years in the Navy. He got out early because he had some good time for re-enlisting early. It was a program they had. She had to wait 6 months, and then he went back to work for the same admiral there at the Navy Personnel Command that he'd been under before they made him get out for 6 months. He went out and worked for some of those Beltway bandits, they called them, for 6 months. But he stayed there till his last 2 years, and I think they kind of, sideswiped him or something, because he didn't say that, but he was a GM 14, and they moved him to Slidell, Louisiana, the armpit of the world next to Farmington, New Mexico, in my opinion.
Sound like it was a nice move.
Up by Fort Huachuca now in Arizona. I don't hear much from him anymore, but him and I went to Vietnam on our senior cruise, you might say. But he worked in the office. He was personnelman. And I was then a submarine warfare operator and flew in the P-3s. I flew in the S-2s off of the USS Bennington out of Long Beach. We parked right next to the Queen Mary. If you're familiar with that, you mentioned Long Beach. And, there were several carriers up there at the time. But I only had to go up there one time on a bus. Normally, I flew aboard
Port Hueneme for my battalion years, so probably about a good 10 years while I was in. But Naval Yard, that's what I was thinking of, was where the personal command is now over there. So you can't see the Pentagon from there, but it's pretty close. But I was been down in Long Beach many a times, been on the Queen Mary, actually ate dinner on there one time at a really nice restaurant called Sir Winston's, I do believe it was. But yeah, it was a good time. I did a lot while I was in.
I think there were lots of oil wells there. Well, I flew out of North Island, NAS North Island. And normally we go out and meet the carrier between Catalina and San Clemente and then operate with live submarines, you know. But I asked for duty with brother when my wife and I got married, so that I could bring her out off the farm. I moved up to Mountain View, California, and flew out of there, right next to the Ames Research Center. KI-4DOS was also stationed there. What was your name again? Yes, Gerald Teal.
My name is Jamie, and I'm N4VUT.
Good to meet you. I have another friend that's still alive back up in Kansas, and he was in the CBs, and I had one friend out of boot camp that went into the CBs, which I didn't think Johnny would ever get out of boot camp, but he did. They picked on him because he'd get up of a morning, be out sitting at the center board and be reading his Bible and have all of his stuff done before everybody else even got out of the rack. But for some reason, they thought that was a good reason to pick on him, or the commanding, our first class boiler tender. I've not had much of an opinion for most boiler tenders ever since then.
These are a different breed, but we can take a knock, and I think that's part of the whole getting into that little specialized area within the Navy, because you're not really Navy, but you're not a Marine, so you're kind of a redheaded stepchild is the best way to put it. That's why I think we get along so well with the Marines, because Big Navy doesn't want to acknowledge either of us.
Jacksonville, I'll never forget. I'd not been around the Marines, except we could see them over on the other side of the fence there in San Diego at boot camp, and I'd look up to the sky and I'd say, "Thank you, Lord," because I wasn't on the other side of that fence. But down at Jacksonville, the very first time I went in the chow hall, those guys come in the chow hall, you know, all they're just out of boot camp, so they could eat steel as far as they were concerned, and they all were standing there and had all the food on the table in their trays, you know. And all at once they screamed, and I can't do it on the radio, but they screamed out loud, all in unison, "Arura!" I like to come out of my seat, I'll tell you for sure. I thought they were animals, but they're trained animals. But there's nothing greater than the United States Marine in my eyes. And besides that, they got the best-looking uniforms. But we had a lot of Marine instructors, and ones that I really admired very, very much when I went to AE school down there.
I agree with you. Those Marines, they definitely had their place, and, you know, definitely the caliber of people that would eat their own guts and then ask for seconds, which is a lot of what our military seems to be missing these days.
You're absolutely right. We're in a very, very bad position right now. I don't see how they keep morale, let alone with police officers. Thank God for them, too. But it's just a different world. And I'm not very proud of it, put it that way. but you're right. They could do just exactly what you said. And they had full confidence they could. But they're great people. And we need more of those nowadays, that's for sure, Jamie. Oh, well, I've seen a lot of country anyways with being in the flight crew, so that was a good time. But I sure wouldn't have wanted to have been stationed up there at Washington, D.C. Far too many people. It's getting to be that way here compared to what it was 14 years ago when we moved here.
I was going to let Patrick jump in.
I'm just talking to this former squid like me.
There's been a lot of that going around up there the past 2 weeks. That Army, Navy, Marines all coming in around me.
I'm going to ask you a question about your generator. What was the fault whenever you said you had a problem with it?
Different pretty much every time. Right now, every light on it flashes at me. It still charges and runs. It just will not work in automatic at all.
Still a real expert on these alternators, basically. You know, I'm pretty sure it is. I don't think it's a generator. There's no commutator, no brushes or anything. But, Patrick, that thing's got to run synchronous within about 1 hertz. And or cycle, you might call it. And so, in other words, 60 cycles. It can vary maybe 1, 2 at the most. And if you got a problem with the governor on it, if it gets out of synchronous, it not only could ruin things in the house, but it could really cause you a lot of serious problems with anything that's inductive, such as compressors and air conditioners, compressors and refrigerators, things like that. So I know you said you'd had some guys look at it before I ran in there to dispatch that KIA varmint out back. I don't know if they ever looked at it from that viewpoint.
It's running 60 cycles or 60 hertz. I know what you're talking about. And we've checked that first thing. But it's something in the circuit board. And it's an older Generac, one of the first ones, I guess. So parts are getting hard to find for it, too. And I don't know. I've had problems with the automatic transfer switch. One of the solenoids went out on it. And now the... it won't do its exercise once a week like it's supposed to, that kind of thing. It's just been, like I said, it's been something all the time. And when you go out and flip the light or the switch on it now, like I said, every light on it flashes at you, like the circuit board's bad again. So I don't know what it is, and I haven't called them out this time. I've just been trying to decide what I was going to do with it.
Jimmy, I'm not aiming to leave you out. I enjoyed visiting with you, but by the way, I'm 76 years old now, Jamie. But Patrick, you know, something that's outside, normally the circuit boards are hermetically sealed with a varnish, and they're very, very hard to do discrete component replacements in that, if not impossible. But I'd say the only fix there would be the main printed circuit board. Go ahead, Jamie, pick it up.
I stopped out for a second because I had to go buy milk.
Patrick?
What you're talking about, it's the same with a car. Most of them, if they're outside, they're hermetically sealed there where, and you can't get to them in that epoxy and stuff. But this one is not. It is just mounted underneath a panel inside the box. And I think moisture is one of the problems with it. That's very likely what's going on. But like I said, they've been out four or five times over the years to work on it because I have a company that installs them 2 miles down the road. And they've come out, looked at it, serviced it several times. And it's just, like I said, it's something every time I turn around with it, and I'm just getting kind of aggravated with it. And I think it's one of those that you just, it's never going to be right. It's time for it to find somewhere else and find something else to do.
Got a lot of hours of runtime on it. Shouldn't be a problem. Parts now, that's another thing. But a lot of times technicians now, that's kind of a, technicians are parts replacement people, as you well know in the automotive industry.
That, but like I said, just getting kind of frustrated with it, and might be time to pull the plug on it and try something different with it. And I'm not saying it's bad with Generac or anything like that. It's just everybody has one sometimes that you just can't get it right. It just doesn't want to do what it's supposed to. And it's same with cars. They're just out there.
That's a possibility, and moisture is a bad culprit, that's for sure. About the only thing you can do with that board would be to clean it with isopropyl alcohol. It won't hurt anything on the board. As far as the exercise time goes, there's probably a 555 integrated circuit timer on it that that tells it when to do that. The microprocessor tells the timer to start it and stop it, I would presume. But microprocessors, in this day and age, I just don't know that much about them. They either work or they don't work. But as far as replacing discrete components, a lot of times technicians just don't do that. They just replace the printed circuit board. And as you say, if it's real old, you may have a problem with that. The average life on a Generac is about 30 years. So they're really a good product. And they're really user-friendly. And they're really not hard to install. Go ahead, Jamie. This is NZOTR.
While I was in the Navy, RCs were keeping up generators that were a good 30, 40 years old. So it's a question of maintenance most of the time.
And it gets its regular maintenance. It's just, like I said, I'm just frustrated with this one because it's been kind of like the tool truck. It's just been something different every time you turn around.
Up in Michigan one time, at least I went up there. Otherwise, I could have put it off. If I turned it, I'd first put it down here before we got our generator. We couldn't afford it at the time. So I put in a 220 volt receptacle out in the carport, and then I had I think it was either 10 gauge or 8 gauge, whatever the generator capacity was. I think it was 5,000 watt. I had a nice big cable with a twist lock receptacle on it. And I'd just go out there and I'd turn off the main breaker in the house and plug that in. I didn't have a transfer switch, but I had printed directions on it in case Bernice should ever have to do it. And hermetically sealed and stuck to the generator. But that worked real well, but my son-in-law had an older generator up there in Michigan, and it went haywire one day while we were down here, and it got off frequency, and they just had a new HVAC system put in, a big one, and they also lost a refrigerator. I can't tell you how many things it knocked out. So you may put that at the top of your to-do list whenever you get everything else paid for on your truck. Because if that thing gets off frequency, it can raise all kinds of cane. Go ahead, Jamie.
got a new 9500 generator during this storm and ran 6 gauge straight into the side of the panel into a new 30 amp breaker. So now I have a way to be able to directly plug into my garage so I can run the generator in my separate garage and then go back through and shut all the rest of the breakers off. So now my job's to go around and mark what can stay on and what has to get flipped off, so in case something happens, my wife knows what to do.
Yeah, I made a printout of it, Jamie, later downstairs, and I laminated it and attached it to the, you would attach it wherever she was going to, you know, start it and set it up for that, step by step, and that way they can't make any mistakes with it. Mine's got a sharing, a couple of little PLCs that are plugged into the bottom of the Generac panels, and they don't call it sharing. In other words, if there's too much load on the generator, it could actually drop out things accordingly. But I don't think that's going to happen with 22 kilowatts of Generac. My wife loves to bake, as Patrick can tell you. And she's doing all the baking for about 50 to 60 people this weekend. We found out this morning at our daughter's Oktoberfest. And she loves to bake. It's kind of a hobby with her. Thank God, for some reason, my system doesn't allow me to gain weight. My sisters, they could look at food and gain weight. My brother and I, it just didn't work that way genetically. KO4HKX to take it in 0GR.
You're blessed in that way, both ways. Miss Bernice's cooking and the ability to not gain any weight. But I have arrived at my next stop, so gentlemen, I'm going to jump out for now. Good to talk to both of you, and I hope both of you have a great day. And tell Miss Bernice I said hello. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
She said she was glad to hear that you enjoyed that lasagna last night, Patrick. Take care, be safe. KO4HKX in 0TR in 4 Victor Uniform Tango. This is in 0TR. Go ahead, Jim.
Actually, I just reached my destination. I have to go put my milk in the fridge, so I'm about to step out here too, Tom. It's been great having the conversation with you. And for VUT, clear after comments.
Fine. Come up and see us sometime, Jamie. And I do have an HF rig down there with 3 antennas out in the back 40, we call it, but it's just 1.2 acres, but they work very well. Last night, I don't know, there was a big geomagnetic storm, and my daughter sent me some pictures from Michigan at Orchard Lake by where they live, and oh my God, the northern lights were gorgeous. I know some people down here could see them, but normally I would have thought that would have loused up HF, but boy, it didn't. I was talking to Micronesia out in the Pacific. I was talking to one other one, and it wasn't Nui. It was another little bitty island out there. I talked to on two different bands up on 28 megacycles and 21 megacycles, 10 and 15 meters, which usually that time of night we don't hear them regularly here. And it was a lot of fun. And Morse code, but you can talk voice too. Take care, Jamie. Have a good day. This is NZero TR Clear.